Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday, October 6th, 7:45 Central Time. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Well, good morning to you and your listeners, Andy.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice and hear what you have for us this morning. Always good topics. What do you have for us today?
Well, these are just as your listeners will understand. I've even had a couple of my students in pastoral theology say they've listened a couple of times. As you well know, I'm always concerned that your listeners try and keep up with what I call the gatekeepers of society, the newspapers, the magazines, the internet, and obviously Facebook, which I don't get involved with. I have enough to deal with. So, and of course other, you know, the cable news networks and so forth. And then to think about this and pray, you know, it's kind of not what would Jesus do? I'm not a fan of that WWJD. But to go back into the scriptures and study the scriptures in this way is the science and the controversies that are going out there, like with gay marriage and transgenderism, is this in service to the Word of God? And this, of course, requires reading, studying, meditating, praying, talking to other people about these issues. It doesn't necessarily mean, boy, right away I have an answer, but always Christ remains answers to some of the unanswerable questions. So to kind of, at least in the short time we have here this morning, in the St. Louis area, and I know other listeners around the world are hearing this, there was a front page article that started off this way: Maxwell was born a girl, but always felt like a boy. And so this gets into the parents of a transgender 9-year-old. They recognized that quote unquote, his feelings weren't just a phase, but so now he goes to a school in suburban St. Louis, an elementary school. And these are twins, identical twins. One then is a girl and believes she's a girl, and the other one, who biologically is a girl, actually believes that he's a boy. So my question is, certainly within the context of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I do think that we need to start thinking about, if this occurs, say, in a Lutheran Christian day school, how shall this be addressed? And because, you know, the scriptures don't talk about transgenderism. They do talk about cross-dressing in Deuteronomy 22:5. They do talk about marriage, the procreation, of course. But they also, the main issue here is parenting, and are we letting the child make the decision in terms of, quote-unquote, what they would like to be, whether or not, you know, even if they are genetically described as a boy or a girl, and then to make that switch. So I think this requires a lot of reading and prayer, because this, I don't know if this has occurred in any Lutheran schools. I haven't heard about this, but I think that discussions have to begin, if they haven't already, from President Harrison on down the road there, in terms of what is the best way pastorally and in a Christian way of listening, hearing what families go through, and then working with this from a biblical and confessional viewpoint. And right now, Andy, I'm not sure biblically and confessionally that we could lay down sort of Robert's Rules of Orders on this thing, but to simply be good listeners and hear the story and get into their narrative and then share the narrative of Christ with them and what parenting and so forth is all about, and the first article, how God has made them who they are, not what they want to be. So I would suggest that one area. And then the second one, of course, is that came up in the U.S. Today weekend. And again, I suspect there may be some that might say, well, here goes Pastor Weiss again bringing up this marriage business. But front page article, it says gay marriage all but inevitable, and battles will continue after the court rules. But it is anticipated because of the striking paragraph 3 in the Defense of Marriage Act, which said that marriage is no longer between a man and a woman, and what happened in Prop 8 in California, approving gay marriage. And now in Missouri, where they have approved, recognized gay marriages by a circuit court judge, in other states, and they've come to Missouri, they now recognize those, and of course this will be continually tested, that the Supreme Court will probably vote in favor 5-4 again in favor of gay marriage. So So once again, churches, pastors, teachers, DCEs, Christians need to be tuned in that this is not something that is going to go away. And it's very similar to the elective abortion issue and the lifeline they had around Concordia Seminary this past Sunday, which I wasn't able to participate in, that goes once again back to it's kind of like whose we are and not who we are. And so we need to be searching the Scriptures and what do the Scriptures tell us about marriage in Christ, especially Christ as the head and we're the body, and not to disassociate marriage of a man and a woman with Christ and his church. So there's that issue. And then I guess the last issue here with the last few minutes, you said you've also sort of come in touch with this. This is the first womb transplant baby born in Sweden. And from the standpoint of transplantation, I suspect most people within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and other Christian denominations would say that sounds good because we transplant liver, pig valves, hearts, and so forth. And so now we're transplanting wombs, and we donate these. The issue here, of course, is that a 60-year-old woman, a friend, donated to a 36-year-old mother. Then she went through in vitro fertilization, and that the couple then went through. They produced 11 embryos, which were frozen, and between 13% to 70% of those died, but they ended up with a baby. And out of that technology. So the question, of course, is, in my opinion, is the transplantation of the uterus in connection with in vitro fertilization. Well, the Scriptures don't say anything about that. So once again, we have to take a look, like Dr. Martin Luther would say, is this science of transplanting a womb into another person or donating one from a person to another person, and then doing in vitro fertilization in service to the Word of God. I think from the standpoint of transplantation, because this is a medical procedure, I don't think we can come down and say, well, we really shouldn't be doing that because we're doing other things, although I think it still requires some reading and studying, but this freezing of embryonic human beings does require something that we, in my opinion, based on the Scriptures, you can't parent a frozen embryo. So from those perspectives, I think we do have areas in the first article, of course, tied with the second and third article, that would call us to say, I don't think we should be freezing these embryos because they are human beings, they are creatures of God, and they need to be cared for in terms of parents. So those are three of the four that I have in front of me here in my downstairs little office bedroom. So just to bring people up to date and hopefully get them to think about these kinds of things, because they're only going to increase, Andy. They're not going to decrease in terms of numbers. And then perhaps maybe within down the road within certain families that are even listening to this.
Sure. Anytime that we come back to that topic of freezing embryos, it raises questions for us, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I'm giving a talk in November here, 8th, on embryo adoption of embryos that have been frozen. I've written a long paper on this and studied the case law. And I realize, at least from our viewpoint within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, I don't believe we have an official position on this because of the impact of in vitro fertilization and the phrase, we don't want to bind the conscience, which I understand the Commission on Theology and Church Relations is looking into that phrase, how Paul uses this, and how it should be used biblically and confessionally. I would say, however, that based on the biblical teaching and taking the science and putting into the role of parents to raise their children, now this is in Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6, both are easy to recall, that the freezing of an embryo does not adjudicate itself well, does not fit well. In fact, I don't think it fits at all with parenting. So this is a very, very troubling situation when people go into this technology and they just don't, you know, create one embryo in a petri dish and implant that because it's not cost effective. So now you get into stewardship issues. So the snowball effect in terms of how do we deal with this in terms of infertility. And I do not understand it. We certainly have it in our family with one of our daughters. And I can relate to some of the struggles that people go through. But the freezing of a human being, which unfortunately in our current post-Christian liberal progressive society, they don't consider the embryo a human being. Of course, it's a human embryo, but it doesn't warrant the same protection as, let's say, a newborn or, say, a teenager, which is absurd. Human life is from the beginning, and we understand that, because if one doesn't believe that, then Jesus Christ, while he was developing in the womb of Mary, then couldn't be a human being either, but we know that he was. He was fully human. So the implications are here, and I would call on our listeners to read, study, and, as we say, inwardly digest. Mm-hmm. Is the science that we're hearing in service to the Word of God.
Well, very good. With the looking ahead to the season, are there other topics or other events coming up that that you'd like for us to look into or find out more about?
Well, I really think that one of the things that has happened here, and I think this has been discussed already once, I really think we have to start looking deeper and deeper into the first article of the Apostles' Creed and its connection to the second and third article, especially, I'm not trying to get confusing here, especially from the third article, Christian viewpoint, and living a life of Christ in this world as we meet the challenges of science. So a very general way is to say, okay, there's a whole bunch of things going on out there in science, especially in the field of medicine. How am I as a Christian, when I see all of this and hear this stuff and read about it, how am I to take a look at this when the challenge is the scriptures really don't directly address this? You know, what am I supposed to do? Just let it go by as a piece of wood floating down the muddy Mississippi? Or am I supposed to try and read the scriptures and stay up with this stuff, because it does impact the whole body of Christ and the community of believers? So I guess the bottom line would be, as a Christian, how do I see science in the world that we're living in today? Is it in service to the Word of God? And secondarily, how does this impact the community of believers that I'm part of, which we call the body of Christ, in terms of serving one another? So I can't come up with any specifics on this, any specific ideas, because much of what we see coming up is still going to deal with elective abortion and gay marriage. Those are the two hot-button issues, and now we have transplanted wombs in connection with in vitro fertilization. We also are dealing with other areas in what's called nanotechnology, where they're starting to put chips into human beings, especially in the military, and where they want to, and some people want to talk about immortality. So I would even suggest that there should be a study of the role of sin in life and death. Mm-hmm. Because there are people looking for the gene for immortality. People are going after this big time.
Those chips sound like a futuristic movie. Well, we are all out of time for today. Dr. Weiss, we'll talk again next Monday. Have a great week.
Godspeed to you and your listeners.
Thank you.